You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. Morale is high. Even though we didn't win the Sports Emmy, that's four consecutive years where we didn't win. But we feel like winners, and I said to the Danettes, we're having a pizza party today. Yes, right after the show, a pizza party.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, figure we get some Mountain Dew.
That was a shot he just took of me.
some Mountain Dew and some pizzas. Yes, Todd.
It's not that we lost four consecutive times. It's we were nominated 4 years in a row for Outstanding Daily Studio Show. That's what we have to rally behind. And eventually, hopefully, we'll win one. But if we're going to be positive and pour champagne and have a pizza party, then that needs to be how it's phrased, I think.
Okay. I mean, I'm okay with this. Are you guys, who's bummed? Anybody? Oh.
No, I think it's the opposite. I think we're okay with it, and you seem more bummed.
Well, I'm bummed because I'm bummed for you guys. I mean, look at the hardware I've got. Look at the life I lead.
Feels like you're projecting a little bit.
I want you guys to feel better.
I feel fantastic.
But you just raised your hand that you're bummed.
No, I raised my hand because I wanted to talk. But I think you were more bummed last year and this year than
last
any
year.
Of us.
Last year, definitely. Yes, yeah,
I could say the last 3 years, I was very upset. But this year, I was just like, oh, well.
I think once we got done pouring champagne on one another and then we sat around and had a beer and we just talked and reflected back on the year. And then Seton goes, I'm good.
Champagne, spraying the champagne on everybody had a very cleansing effect for me where I was just like, okay, I'm good now. I don't really care. We'll get them next year.
Yes, McClellan.
Last night's show was so much fun. The Emmy watch party, the celebrities just, and all the fans that sent in videos, they were all so perfect. It was hard to feel bummed last night.
It was a celebration of losing last night. And it's now four consecutive years. Yes, Todd?
I was bummed on the ride home and going to bed and tossing and turning a little bit. I really allowed myself to believe that this was the year, the fourth time, especially with everything we accomplished and during a pandemic when there was nothing to talk about and that a three-hour show every day. And just that alone, on top of everything else we did, I really allowed myself to believe that we were going to get it last night. So I was bummed.
I think when we look back on the things that we did over the last calendar year, and yes, we went 4 months without any sports during a pandemic, and we had 3 hours to fill, and we somehow were able to do it. And you had an audience that appreciated you being part of their life. And just having that luxury of you allow us in, and whatever role we've played, we appreciate that. And I think I reflected back on that as I went home last night. Then I sat down in my basement. I had a cigar and I had a little bit of whiskey. And I just sort of sat there. I had the sound down on the basketball game, smoking the cigar. And I sent a picture out to the Danettes and I just said, it just said winner. I had a picture of a cigar, some whiskey, and I said winner. And I did. I felt like a winner last night. Then I sobered up and I go, oh my God, we've lost again.
Yeah, then you woke up this morning.
Yeah. And I looked around. I went, where's that? Where's the Emmy? No, it's not there. Thank you for everybody who pitched in, everybody who was watching last night, those who responded to the Sports Emmy committee in support of us. Thank you very much. But, you know, you start to look at this and you get these opportunities and then you don't get them anymore. Scott Van Pelt didn't win the Sports Emmy. Ernie Johnson did. And Ernie did a great job in sort of navigating a lot of different topics with the NBA, you know, TNT show. He had to juggle a lot and he makes it look easy. But I thought Van Pelt had one of those, that's a damn good year. He was on the air with Rudy Gobert when that happened. They came up with Senior Night, and I thought Van Pelt was going to win. I mean, Ernie's got a few, and rightfully so, deservedly so. But I thought, you know what, Van Pelt, I thought had a great year. Yeah, Paul.
Maybe we could start a little club with SVP could be in our club. I think he's 0-for. I think.
Yeah, he is. He's 0-for.
So he's in our club. That's a good guy to have in the club.
Yeah, I like him.
Like our composite picture, you had Van Pelt. Yeah. We're going to look pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that. And you know, basketball-wise, you know, Van Peasy.
Golf?
Yeah, golf. Yeah, I can do that. I can do that, all that. All righty, poll question, McLovin. By the way, Fernando Tatis Jr. III will join us coming up.
Okay, so we put up the which young athlete would you invest in? Christian Pulisic, Zion Williamson, Patrick Mahomes, or Simone Biles? Zion actually has a slight lead over Mahomes, then Pulisic, then Simone Biles.
Yeah, Simone is once every 4 years. And she's, you know, unquestioned the greatest, gymnast of our time, the United States. I think, you know, Russia's had quite a few decorated gymnasts, but Simone Biles, she's the GOAT. Yeah, McLovin.
If you looked at just baseball, he's not American. He's actually from the Dominican Republic. Fernando Tatis Jr., is he the guy for baseball right now?
Certainly feels that way.
I see. But he's in a lot of commercials.
Age, excitement, potential, charismatic, a lot of the things that you're looking for. But capitalizing on that, does the team capitalize on that? And, you know, as we move forward, are the Padres going to continue to be a legitimate rival to the Dodgers? You know, the Giants have been surprising everybody the way they've played this year. Yeah, McLovin.
Do you need a championship? Like, is that what separates is that why Mike Trout isn't like the A-list star of all A-list stars? Would a World Series win do that for those guys?
I think just postseason games would start, you know, like he's had three postseason games total. So in a 10-year period, he's had three postseason games. These leagues are trying their best to get as many different teams into the postseason. But getting Mike Trout into the postseason, first of all, Mike doesn't do anything that you go, wow, even on his own team. Shohei Ohtani hit a 470-foot home run last night. Now, is Mike Trout a better player? Yes, but you know, we're into the novelty of this, the excitement of this, you know, the charisma there. That's just not who Mike Trout is. I mean, he could be a Nikolai Jokic. He just, I'm going to do the job and I'm going to be great at what I do. It's up to you to decipher, hey, what's entertainment or I'm different than somebody else. I mean, we keep hearing he's going to go down in history as one of the top five players of all time. Like he might, but if you look at those top five players of all time, you're sprinkling in some playoff berths, maybe a World Series or two. But when I say, okay, this player, what's the memorable moment? If I say Mike Trout, memorable moment is? Yeah, McLovin.
That's easy. 2017 Eagles playoffs. They get in the end zone, and he's right there to get the ball from Carson Wentz. I'm actually being serious. That's the most I think people have watched him. You remember he was always front row that Super Bowl
year?
Yeah.
I mean, as sad as it sounds, it's a fair point. When you think of Mike Trout, you think of, and if you, and you know, all of these athletes, you know, if you can't come up with a definitive moment there, you know, it's hard to go, boy, that's all-time greatness, recognition-wise. And not that Mike wants to be a celebrity, but, and he certainly doesn't want to be a celebrity, but you hope that he gets that opportunity to go out and play. Hank Aaron did not do anything. You know, he wasn't one of those guys that you went, oh, my God. It was just Hank Aaron played the game the right way. He was a wonderful fielder, base runner, and to me, the all-time home run champ. And just a class human being. But Willie Mays was the one who would wear a hat that was a little bit tighter so it would fly off when he ran. I mean, Willie's hat always flew off. He had the basket catch. He had the over-the-shoulder catch in the World Series. Like you had, like he, Mickey Mantle was charismatic with how he played. He had style. Not everybody has to have it, should have it, but I think when it comes to overall greatness, what do you do on a big stage? Mike Trout can't get on the big stage. You know, Fernando Tatis is a young player. But it feels like he has more moments now, but it's because he has more flair. Now, does that make him a better player? Does not. But this is how we consume sports nowadays. We watch highlights. We don't watch games. And that's where people have that designation of that guy's awesome. Well, how do you know that? I download the highlights every morning. Yeah, Paul.
Dan, don't sleep on your LA Angels. They've won two in a row. They are 29-32 and 6.5 games out of first. They are knocking on the door of maybe being in playoff contention.
Sometimes it feels like we only talk about baseball when there's controversy. And we got controversy now. There's a foreign substance scandal going on. Actually, why do they say foreign substance? It's actually an American substance. It's from North Carolina. Atgard, it's some substance that weightlifters use, and then the pitchers are using it. And I'm just curious if this company in North Carolina is sending it to teams, not necessarily individual pitchers. But batting averages at an all-time low, strikeouts at an all-time high. Baseball announced that they're going to check pitchers throughout the game now. Gerrit Cole, the Yankee pitcher, found himself right in the middle of the controversy. Now, he pitches tonight against the Twins. Josh Donaldson of the Twins called out Gerrit Cole, saying, you know, check his spin rate. And Gerrit Cole did not do well. I'm just going to play you the beginning of this because he's asked about this substance yesterday. Direct question, indirect answer.
Have you ever used spider tack while pitching?
I don't know. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. There are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. And, I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard. You get the gist of it.
He didn't. It's sometimes when you talk and then you keep talking to think that you can talk yourself out of it, and then you realize that you can't, Todd. And that's what Gerrit Cole was doing.
He did go off on a tangent a little bit.
Well, if he would have just said, no, I don't believe so. Like, he couldn't just say no. But in that situation, I would just go, I'll plead ignorance. I use a little bit of pine tar, but that's allowable. Here is the other question directed to Gerrit Cole.
Gerrit, you've said that there are some things that are out of bounds and over the line. What are those things, in your opinion?
I mean, in my opinion, out of bounds, over the line. Probably needs to be better defined. I just don't know if I'm the person to better define it for it.
By the way, that had nothing to do with your radio cutting out. That was a dramatic pause there.
Well, in there for two that you may conclude, perhaps.
Yes, Todd.
Some places don't have maps. Was he under more pressure in that moment than he's ever been on the mound? Those questions that he was ill-advised to handle in any way?
Man. Yeah, Paul.
It sounded like Chevy Chase when he was the press officer in Spies Like Us. Spider tech, never used it on my during a game. I don't have any awareness.
Yeah. Larry in Texas on the topic. Hi, Larry. What's on your mind today?
And I wanted to make one clarification about Gerrit Cole. He was not on the 2017 Astros.
Yep.
He didn't join the team until 2018. And as far as performance yesterday, the only thing he didn't do, I'll give him credit for, he didn't point his finger at Congress and deny everything.
All right. Thank you, Larry. That, of course, happened when some of baseball stars were in front of Congress. And he's right. Gerrit Cole was not on the 2017 Astros. But that's not the only year that they cheated. And he never, I don't know if he's ever answered those questions about the Astros. It doesn't feel like, the pitchers benefited from it, but they had no idea what was going on. They would certainly be aware if the opposition was doing it to them. Let's see. Breyer in Idaho. Hey, Breyer.
6'2", 235. So my question for you is, speaking on pitchers and batters, do you find it a greater disrespect to the game, if it's a disrespect, to hit a home run on a 3-0 count or to put a non-pitcher on the mound in a time when your team is losing so bad to preserve your pitchers?
Depends on the score with the 3-0, but thanks for the phone call, Brian. I think you bring in a positional player to pitch, then you're making a mockery of the game. And if he comes in, go ahead and swing. Because I'm, you know, if that's the case, then when you get up, then I want you to strike out. Like if you want us to surrender and not swing at a pitch because you bring in a positional player, then when you get up, I want to make sure that you guys just have some ground outs, some soft swings here. But you can't go, hey, stop. But we want to continue and try to win. The 3-0 pitch, you're professional. The way I look at it, you're professional. You throw it, you get paid to do it. I get paid to swing. Not, what's the count? 3-0. You're not allowed to swing on a 3-0. Why not? Baseball's unwritten rules. Are you crazy? Okay, 3-1, can I? No. 3-2? Okay, you can swing on 3-2. Like, come on. You get paid to do this. A positional player does not get paid to do that. You come in, the manager is saying, hey, I don't want to use another pitcher, and but don't swing at it. No, it doesn't work that way. Yeah, Todd.
The caveat being, if it's 3-0 and your manager is telling you not to swing, yeah, that's a whole other story. And you still swing, now you're disrespecting your skipper.
Thank you, Todd. Let's take a break. The Year of Todd will be on the newsletter today. 4 minutes of Todd looking back on, and I think it was one question, and the answer was 4 minutes. But the Year of Todd will be on the newsletter later on today. And from what I hear from the backroom guys, very entertaining. Todd had a very interesting year. Yes, Todd.
Rare moment.
Yeah.
Of something entertaining coming out of that.
Todd had a limerick last night when we lost. And that was at the end of the show. Very dramatic, Todd. Well done. Did you have a limerick if we won?
I did. I'd have to give me a minute to find, but I definitely had one if we won.
Do you want to save it for next year?
We don't know what's going to be next year.
It's yes, McLovin.
My 9-year-old daughter watched the show, loved it, but had 10 questions about why Todd just didn't get another kind of bagel. She couldn't understand. It's like, why did that guy get so upset about the bagel?
Yeah, Todd with the onion bagel.
That guy.
Yeah. Yes, Todd.
That guy. I do have the one if we won.
Okay, yeah, let's go. Oh, then great. I'll take a break. Okay.
If we had won, it would have gone something like
okay,
this.
Okay, here we go.
The little engine that could, a team of misfits often misunderstood. So let's celebrate and cheer and perhaps shed a tear. Dan and Danettes take the prize as we should.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
It was not to be on this night.
Take a break. Fernando Tatis Jr. will join us next here on the Dan Patrick Show. It's amazing. Still amazing. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn, which is truly amazing. In fact, even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report limitations apply. Discover.com/yes. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. One of my favorite musicians, Bob Seger. And yes, I am a beautiful loser. Thank you, Bob. I could be an ugly loser. I was an ugly loser last year, but I'm a beautiful loser this year because I applauded politely when SportsCenter won the Sports Emmy. I forgot all about this, that after we lose, then we have all these songs that have loser in it. And if you have suggestions for next year, then, you know, let us know. You can email, you can tweet, and we'll be ready for next year. Although, I'll take it. I'll go 0 for 5.
Yeah, I'd rather go 0 for 5 than stay at 0 for 4. That's
yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
And that's what I said to the Danettes. I would rather get nominated than lose than not get nominated. He is Fernando Tatis, the Padres shortstop. The Padres hosting the Cubs today. He went 1 for 3 against the Cubs last night. Padres losing 7-1. Fernando Tatis Jr. looking good there. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing okay. What do you do all day before you get ready to go to the game? Anything interesting?
At home, well, over here it's pretty early, so not much to do. Just eat some good breakfast and go to the park.
Have you ever been late?
No.
If you that's are, like, what happened?
I don't even want to know, but that's been one of my biggest fears since I started playing baseball, a professional career.
What was your second best sport growing up?
Basketball.
How good were you?
Pretty good.
Well, wait a minute. Who plays in the NBA the way you played growing up?
I was kind of a Russell Westbrook.
Oh, okay. So full effort. You know, rebounds, points, not a good shooter, but you could score.
Exactly.
when did you realize, though, that baseball is going to be my future?
That was kind of my dream since I was a kid, you know, seeing my dad play, coming to the ballpark, and seeing him just, you know, doing his show and just coming to the ballpark itself. It was, since a kid, I was always dreaming about it.
Give me the all-star you remember meeting.
And I'll start. Well, I remember Jose Reyes. I met Maguire when I was a kid. David Wright, Miguel Tejada. That's a pretty big list.
But did you talk? How old were you at the time?
At that time, I was like 10.
Okay. But do you ask them questions? Do you get to work out? Do you want to, you know, play catch with them?
No, to work out, it was more like Robinson Cano, that he was, he helped me a lot through my minor league career.
What do you mean? He helped you or held you?
Yeah, help me.
How did he help you?
He was like one of he's still one of my mentors. Like, we're from the same hometown, so I always ask him a lot of questions, experience, and, you know, just the process.
How many times have you gone to the plate in your career wanting to hit a home run?
Very few, and it almost doesn't work.
You go up there and you go, I'm going to take this guy deep. Why doesn't it work out? And then it works out when you're not thinking about that.
I feel like you just become a better hitter when you're not trying to hit a home run. You know, and I feel like that's what a pew hitter does. Like, just trying to put a good swing, a good pitch, and the ball's going to take care of itself. And then after that, you hit a home run. But when you're trying to hit a home run, boy, that doesn't work. I only done it like once in my big league career.
What do you make of all of this, the pitchers with putting tacky stuff on the ball? Have you noticed anything with pitchers? Could you tell if they put something sticky on the baseball when they throw it?
It's different. I've seen pitches this year I've never seen in my life. And
really?
It's hard. Yeah, it's just hard. These fastballs are...
Oh, he just froze up. Maybe Major League Baseball just pulled the cord there.
Gerrit Cole would have wished that that question he had to be able to freeze
yes,
up.
Yes, that it froze up there. All right, we'll see if we can get Fernando Tatis Jr. back. Yes, Paul.
I think he was going to name names there, too. No, I had the feeling so. He was going to start listing starting pitchers that he wants to take yard because they're loading up the ball.
But the fact that he says, I've seen pitches I've never seen before, I mean, that to me is eye-opening. Like, what are you seeing and why is it so different there? I'm going to guess you do velocity and then you do location, and that probably is what stands out. Todd, if he can't zoom, then I'll take it on a phone call if that's best for him. Yeah, Paulie.
Man, he hasn't even been around that long, and he's saying there's a difference. This guy's like third year in the league.
Now, his dad played for the Rangers, Cardinals, Expos, Orioles, and the Mets during his career. And Fernando Tatis Jr. signed that 14-year contract with the Padres this past winter. And I always wonder, now, would I want a team to do that? No. But at one point, does it become a bargain? That's what I think is always interesting. you know, whether it's Bryce Harper, you know, these guys who sign these 10, 12, you know, 14-year contracts, does it become a bargain? Patrick Mahomes is going to be a bargain at some point for Kansas City. He may already be a bargain for Kansas City. Yeah, McLovin.
But don't you have to tear it up when he becomes a bargain and do it over again? Kind of like Aaron Rodgers right now.
Yeah, I know. That's the interesting part. That's why, like Julio Jones, did the Titans get a bargain? Or is Julio Jones going to say, you know, I do want a new contract? And that's what I thought. I was wondering about that with Julio Jones. I have not seen anything on that, but I'm curious if at some point Julio Jones says, hey, I'm happy to be in town, but I would certainly like a new contract. And I think that, that'll be something interesting to watch. By the way, this is what you hate when you're a teammate of somebody who's in the news, but they don't show up at camp. David Bakhtiari, who is the great offensive lineman for the Packers, asking about Aaron Rodgers and had this to say.
It's out of my control. The situation is between you and the organization, and that's where it's going to stay. I don't want to at all at any time get in the middle of that. I respect you as a friend, and however that turns out, I'm not going to take anything personally. So I think it's really the mindset. You got to look at everything and appreciate what you have. Appreciate the things that are in life and look at things in a positive perspective instead of a negative perspective.
Yeah, but they're going to be answering these questions with Aaron Rodgers for a little while there. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, Jordan Love speaks today, and it's a breathless headline in Green Bay. Like, what is that kid going to say?
I don't know, but he's going to be choosing his words carefully, I'm sure, with that. That'll be and you're starting to hear this public relations push for Jordan Love. Looking pretty good.
I noticed that.
He's looking pretty good. Yes.
Has he faced anyone in pads yet?
Yeah. I want to see what he does in a preseason game. I think that's really the interesting part with Jordan Love, that you can tell me that he looks good in camp. You know, you have pads on, but you can't hit him. I want to see when there's live bullets there and see what he's able to accomplish. Is he ready to start now? Because I feel like if I'm the Packers and I know he's ready to start now or we're willing to commit to him right now, then let's just pull off the bandage here. Because at some point, and I know Peter King floated this, that Peter said, hey, how about Rodgers plays one more year and then you guys both separate? Now, that's what I'd be interested in having with the Green Bay Packers. We have reconnected with Fernando Tatis Jr. When we last left off, you said that you're seeing pitches you've never seen before. Explain that to us.
It's just the difference. It's just better pitches, more spin rate. It's just 3 minutes way harder this year to hit.
But do you have any problem with pitchers being allowed to use this kind of substance, sticky stuff to throw?
Well, I guess that just depends on the MLB. I'm going by call, you know?
Yeah, but do you think it's unfair? Because you have to face these pitches, and the numbers are down for hitters. I mean, everybody's throwing 100, and yeah. It feels like, I mean, you got guys throwing no hitters. I mean, it's pretty scary out there, I would imagine, as a hitter.
Well, if they allow that, they better expect less from hitters. I mean, that's just a fact. No? But what can we say? it's just harder, man. It's just harder. Pitchers are better. They have better mechanics and they have better throwing arms. And now with this sticky shit, they have more spin rate.
What's it like to face Jacob DeGrom?
It was amazing. It was amazing. You know, I'm a guy that loves history. He's one of the best. I respect all the respect that from me to him. And it's, when I was on the home plate, I know I was facing the GOAT of the moment.
But would you rather face a power pitcher or if I said Clayton Kershaw's on the mound or Jacob DeGrom?
I like Jacob DeGrom.
You would want to face him?
Yeah.
Because?
I just know he's going to throw me a fastball, you know. He's one of those guys that's just going to overpower. You know, he has the power, and you know he can challenge you, and he's going to challenge you without no fear.
What is what's Clayton Kershaw's curveball like?
It's a pretty good pitch. I think I never got a hit against it. but it's one of the best pitchers I've ever seen.
Do you guys have a legitimate, healthy rivalry? Is there bad blood between Dodgers, Padres?
I don't think there's bad blood in there. You know, I feel like we both know we are very good teams, and you know, we know the history from the past from these two teams. But I know what we're doing different. What we're doing this year is we're just playing great baseball. We're facing each other, and I feel like we rise the level when we're facing each other.
Oh, Fernando, come on! You got to spice it up a little bit here. Call out Trevor Bauer or something here.
Yeah, no, Bauer, wow, what a guy! But
what do you think of Bauer?
No, you know, Bauer is one of those guys that you know you can play around, you know you can joke, and he's at the end of the day, he's gonna know. I feel like you're just playing around, you're just fucking around, but you know, he's one of the best pitchers of the game right now too.
Well, congrats so far on the season. We appreciate your time, and thanks for joining us.
And thank you. Thank you, Wilbur.
That's Fernando Tatis Jr. He called me Papi.
That's great.
Yeah, that's the way I'd like to be referred to. Papi Patrick. Hi, Papi. Thank you. Good job there, Fritzy.
Yeah, I got a little messy there.
That's all right. That's all right. You know, it's one of those when I ask the question about the pitches and then he freezes up and I'm going, wait, is he pausing? Is it like a Garrett Cole pause? And then I realize, no, it froze up.
At the worst possible moment.
I know. Yeah, I wouldn't be happy. These guys are so good. And all of a sudden you give them just a little bit more of an advantage there. And if he says, I'm seeing pitches I've never seen before. But Jacob DeGrom is, this is crazy what he's been able to do. And the fact that you got guys who are just sitting, as the players like to say, dead red. They're just waiting for a fastball. And Jacob DeGrom is, I feel like he could say, fastball, slider, and it might not matter. And when you think back to, and I was young at the time, I just remember Bob Gibson at 1.12 ERA for an entire season. And it felt like he could throw a shutout every single game. He was just – Bob Gibson looked like he was a heavyweight boxer on the mound. Like he had that mentality of intimidation. He was a wonderful athlete, but intimidation. And I just remember those afternoon World Series games, be the Cardinals, the Red Sox, Cardinals and the Tigers. And when Bob Gibson would get on the mound – it always felt like it was an event. It was something there. And it seemed like he threw the ball harder than anybody else. He didn't. But that look, the stare, him and Nolan Ryan, those were just two guys you did not mess with. Did not mess with. All right, we're going to take a break. And then we'll come back. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. Great job by Todd today in tracking down Fernando Tatis Jr. We'll let you know what the guest list looks like tomorrow. We'll take a break. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last call for phone calls, what we've learned, what's in store tomorrow. Let's see. How about Jimmy in Chicago? Jimmy, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. How's it going?
Oh, wonderful.
Sorry about the nice. Sorry about the Emmy loss last night, but I think you guys actually should have definitely won it the first time you guys were nominated. They got that one wrong, and then you guys probably should have went back to back, actually. But the show is better than ever. In the words of Paulie, you guys haven't peaked, And, you know, just keep on doing what you guys are doing. Love the show and hope you guys win it next year.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate that. Just a little show support. That's nice. I appreciate that. Let me see. How about Bob in Indiana? Hi, Bob. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Nice talking to you. Hey, I heard you talking about Nolan Ryan just a minute ago. That look. Well, I got to face him in the big leagues back in 1974. It was my rookie year with the Brewers.
Okay.
And in the one game, I got two standing ovations. Well, I was part of him. My first at bat, he's first pitch just blew me away. I said, God damn. And I was 0-2 quick, and he throws me a curveball. Well, I stood there, took strike three. And walking back, my first standing ovation was that it was Nolan's 1,500th career strikeout. So I was part of history, I guess. And then my next two at-bats, strikeout, and I come to bat in the eighth inning, two outs. We were ahead 2-0 at the time, so I was still he still let me play. And two outs in the eighth, they pick off a runner at second base. And I was up there with two strikes again. So I got to lead off the ninth and hit a foul pop-up outside of third base on the first pitch. Third baseman makes the catch, going back to the dugout. Get in the dugout, and my teammates give me an ovation.
You didn't strike out, Bob.
I didn't strike out. My teammates gave me an ovation, but that was my indoctrination to Nolan. I did get him later in the year. I pinch hit with two outs in the ninth inning, and they're up like 10-2. What's he going to throw me?
Fastball.
He threw a fastball, but it was probably his, 200th pitch, and I got a double on him. So I do have him in my book.
Did you play outfield?
No, I was. I played first base. I played first base one time. I was behind George Scott, and I was mostly a pinch hitter, designated hitter.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, because wasn't there an outfielder named Bob on what year was this? 74.
74.
Yeah, you guys had an outfielder whose name was Bob, an Italian last name.
Coluccio.
Yeah.
Bob Coluccio, yeah. He's a buddy of mine.
All right. But, well, thank you for the phone call there, Bob. Bob got up there and probably heard a few pitches come by. Guys would talk about that. You would hear the pitch come by. You might not see it. That sounded like a strike, some guys would say. Nate in Oklahoma. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Dan. How's it going, man?
Great, Nate.
So sorry about the Emmy, but you can't lose unless you're nominated. So yep. At least there's that. I'm not going to speak about what I called Marsh on. You kind of mentioned about this last year, what you guys provided for people day in and day out. And I think it was an invaluable service because, people this last year was just a madhouse, going to sleep and waking up with the people that they knew for their entire lives and they lost their jobs and everything. You guys were amazing. And the power of sports. Last night I called my grandma just to check in. She started talking to me about all the NBA games, and it was just the NBA games where people either were from Oklahoma or University of Oklahoma or OSU. And it was hilarious. I ended up talking to my brother for 45 minutes, watching the OU, a Women's College World Series game, and I just think you can't match the power of sports and family and everything about it. So thank you guys for what you do.
Thank you, Nate. I've watched a lot of the College World Series softball. I have. Been good. And been a lot of fun there. James in Texas. Hi, James. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. It's an honor and privilege. Condolences on last night as a lifelong Cowboys fan. The phrase, there's always next year, seems to come to mind. Hey, I've got a real quick question regarding Aaron Rodgers. What happens if he retires? What does that do to money that's paid, money that's owed, his freedom to be able to sign with any other team, and that sort of thing?
Well, he can't sign if he's retired. I think the Packers would own his rights in perpetuity. I don't know about giving back that signing bonus, but I'm going to guess that the Packers would like a little portion of that back. Yes, Eden.
How did Carson Palmer get around that? Didn't he retired from the Bengals and sat out for a little bit and then went over to the Raiders.
They traded.
But he originally, I think, retired.
Yes. He hated the Bengals so much he retired. Like, he wanted out, and then they eventually traded him. Mike Brown did. Yeah, Paul.
Playing for nobody is better than playing for you. That's tough, man. Like, you're just going to be, like, you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and you're like, I'm just going to be single for a while. I'm not even going to look elsewhere. I'm just going to be celibate for 4 months because you're that bad.
Yeah. McLovin, final results of the poll question.
Which young American athlete would you invest in? Mahomes runs away with it, as you predicted.
Yeah, I figured so. Casey in California. Hi, Case. What's on your mind today?
Morning, Dan. I just want to say thank you to you guys. Yesterday morning, I had to drive my parents down to San Diego. My mom is super sick, and she hates listening to talk radio. And I said, we're listening to the DP show, 6 a.m. And I said, because they make me happy. And she goes, well, then I'm in. So you made our morning. I told her all about the Emmy, that you guys probably won't win, but you will celebrate the best non-win ever. And my dad thanked me. He goes, oh, thank God I get to listen to them, because we always have to do what your mother says. So it was just a great moment, and I listen to you every morning. So thank you so much. Really,
Case, stay on hold. I want to get your address. We'll send Mom some DP show swag. And thank you for the phone call. That was nice. Yeah, I'm big in the mom community.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I am. That's my wheelhouse. Yes, McLovin.
Can I give a shout out? It's my mom's birthday today. Fan of the show, Carol Perloff.
Yeah, yay. Carol. Right. Happy birthday, Carol. We'd always see McLovin's family. They'd your parents usually come to Super Bowl.
Yeah, they really missed it last year during the pandemic.
Yes, Paulie.
Very pleasant people. They're always in a very good mood.
They are.
I mean, you never know. My dad was related, though. I'm just kidding. We're twins.
It's one of those where you know what you're going to look like. You can say to your wife now, hun, that's me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
By the way, did you notice how good I did walking last night on the red carpet?
McLovin had to walk, and he doesn't do well when he's told to walk on camera.
No. I didn't fall.
But you, for some reason, you can't just walk naturally. You're thinking while you're walking, and you don't do well.
I don't think my natural walk looks natural.
No,
either.
It does not.
You're a good walker. Yeah. You have a good, like, little catwalk thing going.
Whoa. Todd, what'd you learn today?
Fernando Tatis Jr. says he was a Russell Westbrook-type basketball player as a youth.
McLovin.
Front row did a good job containing themselves for Christian Pulisic.
Seton O'Connor.
Yeah, kind of nerded out there on Pulisic.
I know Seton gave me... I don't know if Seton's given me questions before for a guest.
Well, I think at one point you asked me to stop. So, I got other people for that. Okay, you don't need to do that. Okay.
Paulie, would you like?
Tatis has never seen pitches like he's seen this year.
What we learned, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz fans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech to five-star sales service, financial support crew. I still smell like champagne. Take the extra mile, the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Thanks for the phone calls. We're going to do it again tomorrow. We'll do it till we get it right. Talk to you then. One more item as we close out the show, and it's Level Select CBD Sports Creams and Roll-Ons. This is from Cadenwood. They're the leader in CBD. Pros on top of their game, like golfer Ricky Fowler, baseball legend Steve Garvey, former quarterback Carson Palmer, all use Level Select CBD daily with great results. I use it as well. Before a workout, you can use it after a workout. Playing golf today, I'll use it before and after. Recently on the show, Carson mentioned how Level Select CBD keeps him active, and he's got young kids, whether it's playing football with them or skiing with them. These pro athletes use Level Select CBD because it works, and it'll work for you. They're one of our newest sponsors, Level Select CBD, offering Dan Patrick Show listeners a great deal. Get Level Select CBD or any of their other CBD products for 30% off. Go to levelselectcbd.com today. The promo code is Dan30. Get 30% off your entire order. Level Select CBD, promo code 30. Dan30. By the way, not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota.